scriptures up there already. It's Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. I'm sorry, his name was Abram right then. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God. Thank you, God, for inviting us to walk before you on paths of righteousness. The weeks are just flying by. We are already halfway around the circle in the Zia symbol in this sermon series based on the Zia, the sacred symbol of the Zia Pueblo people. Today we're going to think about middle and old age. I had to combine these two spokes on the Zia symbol because I'll be gone next week. What is middle age these days anyway? When do we hit that age when it's all downhill from there? They say now 60 is the new 30, so I don't know, maybe 70 is middle age now? All of you who are 70, does that make you feel somewhat better?
Yes.
Although I totally agree with the old quote that age is a question of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. And you middle agers want to feel old? I read online recently a story about a girl who said to her parents, my boyfriend went to see Paul McCartney and Wings in concert. He said Paul McCartney used to be in another famous band before he was in Wings. Was he lying? Or how about when you're listening to the radio and the DJ says, and here's another golden oldie, and it's a song you remember when it first came out 50 years ago. For me, that's all those great songs from the 1970s. And now they're the golden oldies, they're the classics. Talk about making you feel old. The Bible says some wonderful things about getting older. Some of the ages of the people in the Bible are astounding. I'm giving a shout out to Obi and George and Barbara and Delner, wherever he went. And Helen, yes. They've all hit the big 9-0. So like Abraham/Abraham, that's a pretty awesome achievement. But don't forget Methuselah. He lived to be 969 years old. But again, age was just a number to some of our spiritual ancestors. When Joseph presented his father Jacob to Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, how many are the years of your life? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my earthly sojourn are 130. Few and hard have been the years of my life. I guess Jacob was just getting started. Maybe he thought things would be better for him in the next 130 years. It's a biblical compliment to say to say someone died old and full of years or was buried in a good old age. For God, timeless and eternal and ageless, age truly doesn't matter. God has called old and young to serve him. Moses was 80 years old when God called him, and he was 120 years old when he died. The scripture says his sight was unimpaired and his vigor had not abated. Wouldn't we all like to have unimpaired sight and unabated vigor as we grow older? There's a promise articulated by the prophet Isaiah about the future of those living in covenant and relationship with God. One who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. We're looking today at a great example of someone who lived a good long life, someone who, just when he thought his adventures were over, got a visit from God and embarked on yet another adventure. It's also quite appropriate that we should think about Abraham on Father's Day. You remember the song about him, don't you? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. You were one of them, and so am I. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, chin up, clap your hands, we're done. Oh, thank you. When Abram was 75 years old, God had appeared to him and told him to leave his home and go to the land God would show him. God had made a profound promise to him then. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. 13 years earlier than the incident we're looking at today, around the time of the birth of Abram's son Ishmael, God had appeared again and promised Abram descendants. But God wasn't forthcoming with the kiddos, so Sarai, Abram's wife, convinced him to have a child with her servant, Hagar. But that was not in God's plan. God planned the blessing to come through Sarah, Abram's wife, even though she was barren and 10 years younger than Abram. So when Abram heard this next promise from God, he was a wee bit skeptical. And just when he heard his new name, he knew for sure God was funning with him. The name Abraham means exalted ancestor, ancestor of a multitude, father of many nations, a tumult of nations, father of a crowd. All Abram had was Isaac, he had Ishmael, one kid, not a crowd. What a grand joke, God. Imagine Abram going to his friends and saying, God gave me a new name. I'm no longer Abram. Now I'm Abraham, the father of a multitude. People would look at him, look at Ishmael, and burst out laughing. In those days, and yes, now too, names meant something. Your name described who you were or what you did or some outstanding characteristic that you had. As God shared Abram's new name with him, God also shared God's own name with him. I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. This name too described who God was and what God did, and it shared some of God's outstanding characteristics. It was a name of might and power. It told Abram this God who came to visit him was sufficient, powerful enough, wise enough, loving enough to do whatever needed to be done, and to help Abram, now Abraham, do what needed to be done. Powerful enough to take him and his barren wife and make their dream of a child of their own come true, despite the odds, despite the biological impossibility. God's name, and God didn't always tell it to just anyone, God's name told Abram more wonderful things. I am the God who pours out blessings. I am the God of tender care. This conferring of and sharing of names sealed this bargain, this deal, this covenant God wanted to make with Abram. Walk before me and be blameless. Abraham was to walk in God's light and God's love. He was to be upright, steadfast, faithful, sincere in heart, in speech, and in behavior. He was to be the epitome of integrity and humility and obedience. In other words, Abraham's whole long life was to show he thoroughly trusted in God, even for impossible things like a son born by his aged wife. Let everyone else laugh at his new name, but Abraham would claim it and trust that somehow or another, God would keep this promise. In fact, there's a small nuance in the verses we shouldn't miss. God said, "For I have made you the ancestor of the multitude of nations." God had done it already. Abraham was already the ancestor of a multitude, even without Isaac, who was yet to be born. God made the promise and looked way far down the line and said, "Amen, so be it." And it was so. We know there was Ishmael and Isaac, but did you know Abraham married a woman named Keturah after Sarah died, and they had six sons, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. So that little camp song about Father Abraham is true. We are Abraham's spiritual descendants. So indeed, he had more children than there are stars in the sky. In response to Abraham's reverence and readiness, God put the promise in motion. Even though Abraham was 99, old by anyone's standards, God had a plan for him. God wasn't done with him yet. I know people often express an almost universal worry as they get older and older and frailer, and their vigor diminishes, unlike Moses's. They worry about the reason why they're still around. What more can they do or give if they're bedridden or too sick to care or for themselves or in too much pain? They wonder what they're still hanging around for. What is their worth? I always believe God's got something left for them to do. And when that work, whatever it is over, then God will call them home. Whatever stage of life we're at, whether it's the last stage we reach, God is there, just like the song I sang earlier says. We have our marching orders, or should I rather say our walking orders. God invites us into a relationship, a partnership. God prepares and seals the covenant for us in all of our life stages, childhood, youth, middle age, old age. We must walk in the continual realization that we are in God's presence. We are to walk in God's light and follow God's way, and God will bless and lead us and take care of us, and God will bring us home at the right time. God wasn't finished with Abraham, and God's probably not finished with you. So when God appears to you, fall on your knees, carefully, don't want to break anything. You know how fragile we get as we age. And say simply and sincerely, "Here I am, Lord. What's our next adventure?" Let us pray. God, we ask for good lives, not necessarily long, long lives, but lives that demonstrate our love for you, our trust in you, and our faith that you will keep all your promises. Help us walk wholeheartedly, always aware of your presence and providence and power. El Shaddai, God Almighty, God who is sufficient, let your love continue to guide us until our time on this earth is done. Amen.